I'm Frank Vaughn. September 18th, 2024, and here I am. It's been a while since I've been here. The world is in the most precarious spot it's been in since, I would say, the Ice Age. Probably before the Ice Age. We stand on the precipice of global destruction. And that might sound hyperbolic, but it is not. We have a nuclear-armed alliance on the verge of direct warfare with its self-declared nuclear-armed enemy. We are not fighting a proxy war in Ukraine. We are fighting a direct conflict with some rules that keep the most dangerous weapons off the table for the moment, but the next moment or the moment after that can change the equation. We have lived in a bubble for 80 years now of relative peace in the West. People have forgotten what that bubble rests upon. And it's a concept known as mutually assured destruction. And mutually assured destruction only works when there is a point at which one or the other of the two sides uses the weaponry which reinforces their red lines. Why we are dancing with death, I have no idea. And why in the Canadian political landscape there is no calls from any politician to resolve the conflict at the negotiating table. In fact, it seems the West has opposed peace at every single step. Even a peace that Ukraine was ready to sign, NATO torpedoed. Why are we doing this? I want to see my kids grow up in a decent world. I want to see your kids grow up in a decent world. I don't want them to be programmed to believe that they can have sex changes before puberty and that somehow that's going to work out good. That their gender identity is real and not a construct of their mind. That somehow gender and sex are separate. These are absolutely insane concepts that are now mainstream, at least among the political class and the media class. I don't think the average person actually believes that white is black and black is white. However, they silently go about their lives hoping that they will just be left alone. And that's a sin too. It's almost as grave a sin as what the state is doing to us. We have a lack of a federal election here in Canada, even though we have one of the most deeply unpopular federal governments that we've ever had. And finally, Jagmeet Singh has discovered his courage and has stepped away from his so-called agreement of supply or whatever terminology they used to try and hide the fact that they were in a coalition government with the Liberals. And now he's become the face. I say again, he has become the face of the official opposition, even if not in the official opposition, by confronting a conservative protester. I think it's very symbolic. I think he showed more courage and chutzpah in that moment than he has shown the entire time he's been in Parliament. And I think it cements his role in the future, and his party's role in the future, which is to make the case that they are the leaders of the left because Trudeau and his party have so thoroughly discredited liberalism in this country that there needs to be new leadership. And Justin Trudeau, he looks sick. He's hollowed out. He's lost a ton of weight and does not look healthy. Now, whether it is just the stress of his job or the stress of his divorce and his family life being in disarray, or if he's doing methamphetamine and cocaine, I have no idea. But he is on another planet, not just from the country, but from his own caucus. And shame on his caucus for saying in private these things that I am saying to you now, but in public still continuing to support the guy. But now that it appears the NDP is prepared to lead the left, we're going to be held hostage again by the sovereignists in Quebec. Why we didn't let them leave the country 20 years ago, I have no idea. This federation is held hostage by one province over and over and over again. But within that frustration and within that unfair situation, there's also an answer for every other province. Quebec does its own thing. They use the notwithstanding clause whenever they want, whether it's religious headscarves, whether it's language laws. They stomp all over the Charter and the Constitution whenever they feel like it, and no one raises a breath against it. Why not the other provinces? Now, Saskatchewan, the province that I live in now, has been flirting with this idea, whether it's the Saskatchewan Revenue Act, whether it's the Saskatchewan Firearms Act, whether it's the small rebellion on the carbon tax, whether it is trying to protect children from the madness of gender-bending nonsense. We have definitely been flirting with carving out our own destiny. And I dare say, after living here for 2 years, that this province constitutes a distinct society. And I read today, too, that the premier has said we are not taking relocated asylum seekers, and good for him. It is time for the land of Riel to rebel. It is time for us to use the tools at our disposal to stop the rot that the federal government seems intent to create every place they have power. And I would remind people, too, that when the government was sending agents to trespass on people's land to test their dugouts and their water, what did the Saskatchewan government do but say, if you go on private land, even if you are a federal agent, we're going to arrest you? And what happened? The federal government backed down. It's time for more of that. I think that's the only answer. I don't see much hope right now from the Smith government in Alberta. Admittedly, it's better than Notley, but she seems to have forgotten most of her commitments that she made on the campaign trail. And I saw a video the other day where she's promising $8 billion to build more schools for the influx of immigrants. The federal government is flooding Alberta with voters that will vote Liberal, or at least that's their thinking, that they'll vote left. It's overwhelming your services. It's overwhelming everything. And it's drowning out the culture that made Alberta so great. There's a lot of people coming in this country that don't give a damn about Canada, what made Canada great, our laws, our rules, our regulations. I seen a video which actually inspired a lot of conversation with people about all these Indians who are net fishing in rivers and just stopping on the side of the road to help themselves to people's gardens, and just they look at it like it's the land of milk and honey, and they have no respect for our laws, rules, and regulations. The state of driving in Toronto and in Ontario has decayed and collapsed to a point because people aren't even taught how to drive properly. They don't even speak the language. We are losing ourselves. We're losing the magnet that makes decent people want to come here, because we're flooded out by a large portion of our immigration being dedicated to people who just do not care about Canada. We have only one politician in North America who is talking sense about not only the Ukraine war, but also the war that's raging in the Middle East right now, and his name is Donald Trump. There is not a single politician in Canada talking sense about either of those issues. It's all just virtue signaling and flag waving, but it's not the flag of Canada we're waving. It's the flag of every other national identity, whether it's Khalistani separatists, whether it's Jews, whether it's Palestinians, whether it's you name it. Every flag but Canada. It's madness. He's been, speaking now of Trump again, he's been shot at twice. Looking at the state of public discourse, it's like it doesn't even happen. Now, if it was Biden or if it was Harris, it'd be wall-to-wall coverage, there'd be investigations, and it would be a huge media coup, but because it's Trump, everybody shrugs their shoulders, or worse yet, just says he had it coming. And what's Trump's biggest crime? And I honestly think it is that he's talking about a resolution to the Ukraine conflict, which they are desperate to keep going. It's their lifeline. If they can't kill him, they have to keep this war going, because they have to stop him from getting in office. With RFK behind him, with Tulsi Gabbard behind him, with the more honest members of the intelligentsia actually getting involved in his campaign, if he gets office this time, after the big education. You know, it takes 4 years to get a bachelor's degree. Trump got a bachelor's degree in the U.S. presidency when he was in office the first time. Many of his failings can be chalked up to the fact that he just did not know what he was doing. He had to hire 60,000 people. He had to rely on the advice of the people around him, and a lot of that advice was bad. And you can see the evidence of that as you go through his administration, hiring people and firing people because they just would not do the job that Trump wanted them to do. He knows better this time, and his enemies know he knows better, which is why they are desperate to kill him. I read today, too, of a bomb found at the location or near the location of his impending rally, which is coming up in 3 hours. I hope he takes it seriously, because I got to tell you, folks, if they're successful and they kill him, we're hooped. I don't know where we go from there. It pretty much all rests on him right now. The entire MAGA movement, the entire movement towards peace, peace. Remember when they said he was going to start World War III? That was their big talking point. And now the very same people who use that talking point are desperate to trigger World War III. And the world right now rests on the restraint of strong men. Whether it's Putin or Xi, their restraint is the only thing holding things together and giving us an opportunity to change the trajectory. Because the trajectory we're on right now, inspired by the far left, which is in power through their media organs, leads directly to global destruction. That is not hyperbole. That is a fact. And I don't know how people on the far left, but I also don't know how people on the so-called right can just shrug their shoulders. I see people like recently Spencer Fernando blocked me on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Call it either one. Blocked me on Twitter because I suggested that if he's so pro-war and he thinks everybody who calls for peace is a coward, why isn't that man on a plane and volunteering in the Ukrainian army? Because the Ukrainians, what they need more than guns and bullets is bodies to go feed the Russian war machine. There's almost 1 million dead now. Do these people not understand the blood that is on their hands as well for supporting a war that wasn't even necessary in the first place? Supporting a war that had a peaceful resolution within sight before the war began? That NATO torpedoed? Ukraine was ready to sign. The Russians were ready to sign. And the West intervened and torpedoed the entire thing, leading to this war? Politics is the death of facts. Anyway, there's a lot I want to get into. This was supposed to just be a 12-minute video where I say hello again and I reintroduce myself to the world. I don't even know if there's anybody going to be left. I'm amazed there's 17,500 of you still subscribed on YouTube. After 2 years of there being nothing, you're still there waiting, which is wonderful. And then there's the 12,000 or 10,000, whatever it is, over on Facebook who are stranded. Some Polish national stole my Facebook account, stole the page, and it's in purgatory. No, he can't do anything with it. I can't get it back. There's nobody. Facebook is a monolith that you can't even talk to, so it's just dead in the water. It's still there. You can go look at it. It's like a little piece of history, but there's not much to it anymore. And then there's the people on Twitter. I felt I owed you an explanation before I began my work in earnest again as to where I've been. Almost two years ago, I sat down and I tried to make videos. And the truth is, I looked at the man on the screen, meaning me, and I did not like what I saw. I knew I had health problems. My hair was short. I cut it off because I didn't think my daughter liked it. I cut the hair off, and it wasn't that. She was an infant, a breastfeeding infant, and any man with a family understands that when your baby's breastfeeding, you're second fiddle for a long time. Now she's daddy's girl. Put her to bed every night, and she doesn't want anybody else by her side. Anyway, cutting my hair off just didn't work. I had to grow it back. Can't make videos without the hair. It makes people so angry. So why wouldn't I have it? But in all seriousness, I focused on my family. I focused on my children. I focused on that, and I focused on peace. The first time in my life, I've got quiet. I've had a lot of time to think. I've put together a timeline of my life from about the age of 3 all the way through to 40 that I can recall in my head to tell myself how I got here. Because one of the things that happened in the post-COVID world, everybody faced conflict within their family and within their social circles. And my family was not spared that. And decisions were made. And one of the decisions, one of the factors that came out of the post-COVID world is that we moved from Ontario to here. And in so doing, sorry, my screen just shut off and it threw me off. In so doing, I left all my identities behind. The utility contractor Frank, farmer Frank, and 100 other things that I had done up to that point, all of a sudden they just didn't matter. I find myself in a new land, and I find myself, other than my family, I find myself largely alone. There's a lot of people who, to this day, try to punish us for moving and doing something good for our family. And that's unfortunate. It's given me a lot to think about. It's given me a lot of time to introspect, to try and come up with the answers. And that's what I've been doing. I've learned I was overweight. I had a lot of health problems. I learned about the miracle of fasting, and I had to teach myself the discipline to do that, first one day at a time, then 2 days. Now I think I've done 5 or 6 anyway, 5-day fasts. I spent most of the month of August fasting. I'd eat for 2 days and not eat for 5 days. I've been working very physically in the bush, cutting wood and removing and doing things with my son, so I've been eating again, but I needed to solve the health problems, which I've largely done, and I needed to start losing weight, which I am doing, and I needed to work out more and start building muscle, which I've been doing. Essentially, I needed to fix myself before I could sit in front of a camera and talk to you. You cannot conquer the world if your own country is in disarray. And that applies personally, and it scales all the way up to the national level. And my God, can I tell you that our country is in disarray right now. There's a lot of happy-go-lucky people on the left, but there ain't a lot of happy-go-lucky coming out of their delusions. Anyway, there's a lot I want to talk about in the future. And I'm back. I'll see you in the next one.